As we've mentioned earlier in the show, our guest today is Dale Falwell, the former North Carolina State Treasurer, two terms, 2016 to 24, now enjoying retirement. Good morning, Mr. Falwell.
Good morning to you, Brad and Steve, and it's great to be back with my good friends in Moore County, and hope things are going well.
Many of you, many of our listeners, of course, will recall that on alternating Wednesdays when he was treasurer, Dale called into this radio station in the morning live. And what I will always remember and greatly admire was that the morning after you were defeated in the primary, you called in anyway. And I thought that was a testimony to your character. So we're glad to have you back with us. There's a couple of topics at play right now that you are intimately familiar with and that have not taken care of themselves in your absence, have not self-healed. One is, of course, the perilous situation faced with the expansion of Medicaid in the state, Medicaid coverage, I should say, which for decades North Carolina avoided wisely, I think. And that was your viewpoint, but then as he was headed out the door, Governor Cooper gave in to his base and expanded Medicaid to, I want to say, another 600,000 citizens of the state. And wouldn't you know it, here we are in the fall of 2025, and there's a shortfall in terms of funding it. The House and the Senate are at an impasse on doing that, north of $300 million shortfall right now. And meanwhile, the providers are being warned that they can face rate reductions between 3 and 8% at a minimum. That's one story that we'll talk about. And then as well, the condition of the state health insurance plan, which, as you have pointed out over the years, is imperiled by the medical cartels that thrive and really are ignored by both parties. So let's talk about Medicaid. The expansion is done. What do you think we should expect going forward with that, based on just what we're seeing here, but also what other states have experienced?
Well, in the accounting world, we have a term called estimable improbable. What you just outlined to your listeners and what is actually happening as far as Medicaid overruns was estimable and it was probable.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Governor Cooper a few moments ago, but it was Republicans who authorized this Medicaid expansion.
Excellent point, with the majority, yes.
And yes, and with for the whole time that I've been in Raleigh, nearly 20 years, Republicans had always been opposed to Medicaid expansion. And I'm not as close to it as I once was, but it was my understanding before I left office that they agreed to this Medicaid expansion with some caveats that if the federal government chose to cut back on their reimbursement, then maybe Medicaid would stop being expanded. I don't know the ins and outs of that legislation, but I just want to make your listeners feel even smarter than they already are. If they think something's wrong with health care, they're right.
Mm-hmm.
None of your listeners consume health care. It consumes them. It's the only product in their life where they don't know the price and the value of it, even after they have consumed it. And these cost overruns in Medicaid expansion or in the state health plan are the result of North Carolina, according to Forbes or Fortune, having the highest cost health care in the United States. That's because the health care cartel, and if you go to Webster's Dictionary for your listeners, the cartel is defined as associations which are formed to raise prices or limit competition. That's exactly what has happened with health care, and it's being endorsed by the Republicans in the North Carolina House and North Carolina Senate, who refused to get behind transparency, refused to get behind reference-based pricing, refused to get behind repealing of the certificate of need. So, you know, this all world in our whole world these days, Brad and Steve, we talk about Republicans and Democrats. This issue lies at the feet of the Republicans who are in charge in this state.
And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but if the providers of health care are seeing their funding reduced and hospitals are not provided enough to pay their employees what they should be paid, and doors start closing in these facilities, won't the voters notice that the next time they get a chance to cast a ballot? I mean, shouldn't the Republicans be a little bit more leery of this ticking time bomb?
Yeah, you know, voters aren't being leveled with. The fact is that in the accounting world, we're told to watch the cash. We have one nonprofit in this state that doesn't have hundreds of millions or millions or even billion, but multi-billion dollars in the bank. So these folks who talk about, you know, the limiting of health care somehow know that they keep putting more marble and more granite in their executive offices, buying more property, taking it off the tax rolls, and charging higher and higher prices. You know why they do that? Because they can.
Because they can. Mm-hmm. Because the pipelines are just churning with cash, and it's our money.
Because we have a opportunity, the Republicans in this state have had the opportunity for years and years to lead the nation in terms of transparency, tell people what health care costs, in terms of competition. That means not restricting the supply of something, and so more people can compete, which would result in lower prices. The Republicans in the General Assembly, in the words of the gentleman who just passed away tragically in an airplane accident in Franklin, North Carolina, who wrote the song, Jesus Take the Wheel, the Republicans in the General Assembly have the wheel to reform health care in this state and lower cost.
And interestingly, you have called upon the General Assembly prior to your leaving office to provide the funding that is needed to keep the health insurance plan solvent. But our current state treasurer, Brad Briner, is on the record as saying that he doesn't believe the General Assembly can or should fix this problem. I'm quoting a recent article. And then he says, we are going to have to do a number of uncomfortable things. The obvious one is premiums, which by that he means raising them. Is that really the solution?
No, the solution is to stop screaming past each other and have an honest, open conversation where everybody can be invited, where the General Assembly is shown mathematically where they have underfunded state health plan for decades. This is not a current problem. To tell you how severe this problem is, our unfunded liability, billions and billions of dollars on the state health plan, on a per capita basis, puts us right behind, a few years ago, right behind the state of Illinois. The same Illinois that you talk about all the time as being insolvent.
Right.
So we can be optimistic and thankful for our state debt going down by 60%, which it did under my administration, the General Assembly eliminating corporate income tax, cutting personal income. We can be optimistic and thankful for all those things. But the fact is, this is a ticking time bomb. And to finance the unfundedness, to finance the not funding of the pension plan, the state health plan, on the backs of those that teach, protect, and otherwise serve, is something that I never stood for. And the leadership in the General Assembly never cared for me because I took that position.
And as it stands, the hospital cartels don't have no motivation to get control of their costs, and instead they're just going to let them keep going up, and that's just going to accelerate the insolvency, I guess, right?
They keep consolidating health care in the hands of fewer and fewer people, choking off supply, having complete control, in my opinion, with the consultants and the lobbyists and those that don't have the courage to register as lobbyists and make sure that their game. Nobody changes their game.
And just to be clear, when we read media reports that put the indebtedness of the state health plan at just north of $500 million and headed toward a shortfall projected by 2027 to be $1.4 billion, your contention is that those numbers are very low, that in fact the health plan is billions with a B, plural, in debt and becoming increasingly moving toward insolvency. Is that right?
That's right, because we, for decades, our state promised workers after 5 years and one day of service to be entitled to lifetime health care, eligible for lifetime health care. But they never put any money aside for that. There should be no difference in opinion about the facts and the mathematics. It's just people trying to spin things in a way that leave people with a headache where they can't really understand what's happening. And what's happening is that the General Assembly has not done its job to increase access, quality, and lower cost of health care in this state.
And the thing that's really frustrating now about our General Assembly is they're taking a page out of the federal playbook, the Capitol Hill playbook, and they've gotten to the point where they just don't seem capable of passing a budget. You know, so they're doing these so-called mini budgets. One of them contains some additional funding to cover the cost of Medicaid expansion, but it wasn't enough. And as recently as a couple of days ago, both of our representatives here in Moore County, Representative Jackson and State Senator McInnes, were in a meeting at the community college here locally, and they were asked, "What is the status of the budget? When's it going to get done?" And they just didn't have an answer. There doesn't seem to be any confidence that is an achievable goal. And I don't know about you, but as a citizen, I find that unacceptable.
Well, this has been going on for decades, unfortunately, and I think we're in a very uncertain world, and all this does is bring more uncertainty to people's lives, which I'm opposed to.
Yeah, they don't, especially when it comes to very basic fundamental things like health care and education, things that as Americans we should take for granted are going to be available to us and the very best standards in the world as well. And let's keep in mind when we talk about funding the state health insurance plan, we're talking about an impact on 750,000 plus state employees. This is not some small niche group of people. These are real people in real lives that need prescription drugs that are affordable, that need medical care that is accessible. And, you know, to take that away from three quarters of a million or to diminish it for 750,000 people can be nightmarish, to say the least.
Well, look, one out of every 10 adult North Carolinians is attached to this. Secondly, let me put it in context. The family premium that they're talking about going up on the family premium, some families in Moore County who work for the school system, They have to work 1 week out of every four to pay this premium. Can you imagine Walmart, as much as they purchase, they'd be had to pay the highest prices? Why should the largest purchaser of this product in this state be paying the highest prices? And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, that's actually turned on its head, isn't it? Upside down. Makes no sense. Well, do you, we're talking to former state treasurer Dale Falwell, who is comfortably ensconced in retirement. Do you ever have impulses to get back in the political arena?
Well, I went to Winston-Salem State and UNC Greensboro. I was not a literary major. I was an accounting major, but I understand that if you look at the Latin meaning of the word politic, poly means to address the affairs of the city. And I think all of the Weeb listeners know what a tick is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always interested in helping anyone who is trying to save money, save minds, or save lives, period, and fix things. But I don't see any smoke signal coming out of Washington, D.C., or generally Raleigh, of anyone who's truly interested in fixing these problems that affect average North Carolinians.
And yet, they don't just go away by ignoring them. We know that. And right now, in Raleigh, you know, you've got a governor now who, you know, there are times when I think that Governor Stein makes Cooper look like a man of principle, as strange as that sounds. But to your point, also the Republicans with the majority, the supermajority on the Republican side and a simple majority on the House side are complicit as well. And I guess we're just going to have to rattle some cages next year when we have chances to go to the polling places again.
Well, I presume that, you know, things like that could happen. But, I mean, the fact is that we need to get rid of counterfeit conservatives. And I know the Weeb listeners are familiar with this term called rhinos. There's something worse than a rhino. And that is a person who pretends to be a conservative but does things not just in their voting but behind the scenes to offset that.
Yeah.
And I call them counterfeit conservatives.
Right. Emphasis on con, I guess.
Yeah.
You might
that's
say.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, when we talk about health care, con is the certificate of need, and that's also what it stands for.
Good point. And the certificate of need, it's kind of in the weeds, but it is it's a problem that could be solved if there were people willing to responsibly be the adults in the room and deal with it.
Right. Well, it's not the end all be all, but it is important.
Yeah. Well, and when you know the frustration is that North Carolina is recognized as a vibrant state, a growing state, a state that is attracting industry and new business, and a state that is robust in many regards. But then it's a shame for those who live here and are in the trenches every day, going to work and doing their jobs and taking care of their families, that they have to deal with the uncertainties that you mentioned with regard to Medicaid in the case of those who are eligible. Hopefully only those eligible, and then of course there, those who are state employees and their health care coverage.
Well, but, exactly, and the fact is the conservative answer to these problems is increase the supply of health care, lower the cost, so more people could afford to pay their premiums.
Sounds pretty simple.
I mean, why can't we just go back to conservative principles?
Well, I will say this. Treasurer Falwell, I'm sure that there are many people in our audience who would be delighted to have you lead us in that quest if you ever want to come back and run for office again. And there are there will be an appetite for that. But in the meantime, I would like to thank you for joining us today and giving us your time and your insights into these issues. And we hope to have you back again in the future.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know, I will say that, you know, when former state party chair Michael Whatley and the current chair, they have had no interest in my public service. And because, you know, at the end of the day, in my opinion, they don't want conservatives who really want to solve problems by asking the tough questions.
And that is an unfortunate commentary, and that is where we will leave it. Thank you again, Dale, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Bless all of your listeners at the Weeb.
You bet. Thank you.